Father, Lord, the entrance of your word gives light. Hallelujah. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning as we stand in the message of the Lord. Bless our hearts and glorify yourself. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. Now, the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse 3 that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. You believe that? So, I've been thinking about that for a while. And so the Lord put it on my heart that, every so often I'm going to come here and give some kind of message that will exalt his praise. Because, one of these days, hallelujah, one of these days, if we get the praises of the Lord just right, peradventure, he will grace us with his presence. Amen. Let me explain that real quickly before we get too far into it. Because some people say, well, the Lord is here. Well, we know the Lord is here. There's no question about that. But there is a difference between the Lord's universal presence, which is everywhere, at every time, no matter where you go. The psalmist said, even Psalm 139, I go to make my bed over here, even in hell, all over. But there is a difference between that and the one where it says, in Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If the presence of the Lord is everywhere, then how come everybody doesn't have fullness of joy? Well, because there's a different kind of presence that he's talking about. That's the revealed presence of the Lord. And it takes the praises of the people to really bring that together. Today, this morning, I want to talk about beyond superlatives. The Lord our God, he's beyond superlatives. Let me explain what a superlative is. Generally, it's an adjective that's used to describe something, in a high degree. Like they may say greatest, that's a superlative. They may say highest, and so many other things like that. But we find out that people even use some other adjectives like amazing and wonderful and all these things to describe just any kind of thing. Well, if those things are amazing, then I don't know what word we are going to use to describe the Lord. Because we look around and say, oh, that's amazing, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's great. Well, if it is indeed true that those things are so, then what word are we going to use to describe the Lord? Now, I have some attributes of the Lord that I want to point out today. And I'm going to challenge us. And so I like that song that they sang. I actually asked the praise team to sing it before I would preach. What word comes to mind when you think about the Lord? And I'm going to call out a few attributes of the Lord. And let's see what word comes to mind. What's the one word that describes some of this? I have many attributes that I'd like to call out, but I'll just do maybe about 10 of them. When I call out these attributes, I will also call out the one word that comes to my mind when I think about these attributes of God. The first one I want to talk about is God's very essence. God's very essence. What is nature? What's the one word that comes to mind? They sang it in that song already, holy. When you think of the essence of God, the very one word that comes to mind is holy. Can you say amen? That's right. That's who he is. And let's take a look at some scriptures here. Talk about the holy essence. The very essence of the Lord is holy. Let's look at a few scriptures. Psalm 22 and verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, when we make his praise to be glorious, that's something that actually attracts him. And let's try to do that this morning. And I've been praying and saying, Lord, we're going to keep doing this. And one of these days, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You'll understand that better as we go through this. The Lord is holy. If you like the sound of that, you can shout hallelujah. It's too quiet in here this morning. I want to shout. I want us to make praise, the praises of the Lord glorious. I want us to, you know, acknowledge all of his wonderful attributes and see how high he is. You know, so if I say something that makes your heart glad, you are free to shout. Amen. I know you may be crowded together a little bit and maybe you are not sitting in your usual seat, but don't worry about it. Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's look at Psalm 99 and verse 9. And just see the attributes of the Lord that call, you know, that come to mind when we talk about his very essence. Psalm 99 and verses, let me read verses 5 and 9. It says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Amen. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for the Lord our God is holy. So these scriptures are talking about how holy the Lord is, and so on. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. We're talking about the attributes of the Lord and what comes to mind when we think these things about the Lord. The first one we're thinking about today is his very essence. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were also full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. Amen. Amen, folks. This is the one song they sang, and rest not night and day, talking about the how holy our God is. Do you sing about his holiness at times in your heart? I mean, do you praise the Lord? You know, I love to sing about his holiness. Amen. Amen, folks. I love to sing about his holiness. There's a song that comes to mind. It says, praising the Lord, saying, holy. I'm praising the Lord, I'm saying, holy. Praising the Lord, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I'm praising the Lord, saying, holy. Sing it with me. Praising the Lord, saying, holy. I'm praising the Lord, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Amen. I'm praising the Lord and saying, holy. Praising the Lord, saying, holy. Praising the Lord, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I'm praising the Lord and saying, holy. Praising the Lord, saying, holy. Wave your hands. Praising the Lord, saying, holy, holy, holy. The Lord. Let me tell you something that the Lord is going to do. I prayed about this all night. I laid in my bed. I couldn't get it off my mind. I was praying. I prayed about it this morning. I prayed about it all the hours of this morning up till this time that I'm standing here. And I said, Lord, manifest yourself to your people today. Let us understand what it means to really praise the Lord for these his wonderful attributes. And I believe God's going to do something for you as we get into this message here today. Amen. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. And let's look at an experience that Isaiah had here. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one of them had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The glory of the Lord. What word comes to mind when you think of his essence? What is the word that comes to mind? The one word that comes to my mind when I think of his essence is holy. And that's the thing that the angels, the seraphims, the cherubims, and all of them, that's all they say. Holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The next attribute of God, I'm going to come back to this Isaiah 6 in a minute, in a little bit. I'm going to read one when I mention one of the other attributes that I want to exalt here today. Another attribute of the Lord that I want to exalt here today is God's love. Hallelujah. What is the one word that comes to mind when you think of God's love? I mean, just like, you know, what word? You know, there is only one word comes to mind. There is only one word to describe. What is the one word that comes to your mind when you think of his essence? We just talked about holy. What is the one word that comes to mind when you think about his love? I say boundless. Amen. His word, his love for us is boundless. Has no boundaries. Most people have love, but they have boundaries. Can only go so far. Our love only goes this much. And, you know, if somebody gets out of line, you know, then, you know, they see our other side, you know, and so forth like that. But the love of God is boundless. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to read about the boundless love of God. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me read from verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 3. If you have a Bible, turn with me. Hallelujah. And let's see what the Lord, how he describes, the Spirit of God describes this. You know, Paul was praying for this Ephesians. He said, look, you know, I pray, you know, when I heard about your faith, I pray and I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and so on, you know. And then he said that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, he's talking about God's love, not human love, you know, that you may be able to comprehend with the saints. What is the length? Now, notice there's a paradox in here. He wants us to be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, and what he's talking about love. Remember, he said that you may be rooted and grounded in love. That's God's love. And he wants us to be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. There's a paradox in here. I mean, we can't really know it. It's boundless. But he wants us to try to comprehend it. That's his prayer, that we may comprehend it. But it is boundless. To know the love of Christ, which is boundless, which passes knowledge, and that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you say amen? Amen. The love of God for us is boundless. It surpasses anything. It is greater and it is stronger than any problem that you may be facing today. Amen. In the book of Romans chapter 8, let's see how it describes the love of God for us. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Come on, answer me. Shall tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? Shall distress or persecution or famine or the nakedness? We don't have anything to wear. We don't have anything to eat. Shall peril or even the sword separate us from the love of Christ? No. Nay, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he's talking about the love of Christ. Now, he said, I am persuaded. Now, are you persuaded? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, amen, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, You know, it doesn't matter. Even things that have not yet even happened. Not any height, nor depth, whether you are up or down, it doesn't matter. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for his boundless love. Amen. Put your hands together for his boundless love. Amen. Hallelujah. The love of God is boundless. That's the thing that comes to my mind when I think about it. There's only one word comes to mind. There's only one word to describe. Now let me bring to you another attribute of God, and let me challenge you with one word. Which word comes to your mind when you think of it? Now, we've talked about his essence, which is holy. We talked about his love, which is boundless. Now, what about the judgments of God? You know, what about the judgments of God? The Bible says that his judgments are righteous altogether. The one thing that comes to mind when I think of the judgments of God is his righteousness. You know, because some people say, oh, well, God is a God of mercy and God is a God of this. Yeah, sure, he is. But because of his holiness and because of his nature, his judgments have to be righteous. He must judge righteous judgment. He will by no means clear the guilty. You know, that's just the nature of his very nature. You know, that's just the way it is. Now, let's look at, you know, his righteousness. Psalm 19 and verse 9. Look at how, you know, the psalmist, he put it. Now, this man, how in the world did he reach out into the mind of God and pull out all these deep things about God? The Psalms are so full of all the attributes of God. Well, because when he was praising the Lord, the Holy Spirit would drop down and it would take him into a dimension. And then he'll begin to see some things and then he'll begin to write. You know, that's right. That's what happens when you are in the dimension of praise. Amen. Now, Psalm 19 and verse 9. Let's see what it talks about. Psalm 19 and verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So that's one thing that comes to mind about the righteousness. I mean, the judgments of God, they are always righteous. He always judges righteous judgment. Psalm 9. Psalm 9 and verse 8. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. Amen. And he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Praise the Lord. Well, America needs to repent. Amen. Because how great are the warnings of God. Now, this is not in my message, but I just thought I'd throw this in. How great are the warnings of God? You know, a few weeks back, the total eclipse and so forth. And I began to look at that. I said, that's a harbinger of things to come. You know, and I say, well, you know, when you take away the sun and you blind it out of like that and so forth, that's a bad omen. You know, and judgment is going to come quickly, you know, and so forth like that. You know, and I begin to look, and the next thing we know, there's tornadoes, there's hurricanes, there's all kinds of things everywhere. But you know, the sad thing about all of this is that America will still not turn to God. You know, they will explain it away with something else. But I tell you something, the Lord will protect the elect. Amen. Hallelujah. He will. And I've been praying for the elect. Now, I don't pray for the world. You know, we're not asked to pray for the world. Jesus said, I pray not for the world in John 17. But I pray for these that you have given me. You know, keep, Holy Father, through thy name, the ones that you have given. I'm not praying for the world. The world will perish because they have chosen to reject God. But the people of God that are in the world, God will pull them out. Amen. Now, it doesn't matter whether they know the Lord yet or not. God's going to bring them out. Because all that the Father has given me, I will lose none of them. He will bring them out. Now, the judgments of God, as they begin to come, the mercies of God through praying saints. The saints are praying. And I'm praying too. I'm saying, Lord, for everyone that's crying unto you, whether they are in the cities that are being faced by hurricanes or they are in cities that are being faced by tornadoes, and they cry unto you, Lord, hear them and deliver them. Amen. And Jesus already promised, said, you know, everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When they call upon the Lord in distress, the Bible says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, out of all his distresses, saved him too. Maybe the Lord will let some people cry unto the Lord so that they may be saved. But there will be some people whose hearts will be hardened. You know, they won't be saved. You can't save the devil. You know, their hearts will be hardened. They won't believe the Lord for anything. But the Lord has a lot of people. He's going to touch a lot of hearts. Amen. So you'll be praying because God has wonderful people in all those cities that are affected by all those troubles. You'll be praying. But the judgments of the Lord are righteous altogether. You know, this nation has turned its back against the Lord. And if you think that there is, if you think that these things that you are seeing is something, it's nothing at all. It's the beginning of sorrows. You know, there don't be even more judgments. You know, but he that will let for a while until he be taken out of the way. So God is going to have mercy upon us as we continue to pray. And he will have mercy upon his people. Amen. But the righteous, God's judgments are righteous. Praise the Lord. I digress a little bit about that. Now let me talk about God's greatness. What is the one word that comes to mind when you talk about God's greatness? You know, we talk about, you know, do you know that, you know, sometimes we use superlatives. And I remember this is about superlatives, but it's beyond superlatives. Because we cannot find words to describe God. So we sometimes say he's greater than the greatest. Amen. We say he's higher than the highest. But I tell you, you know, I don't care what limits you can go, God is still greater. Amen. The scientists up till today, they are still finding, you know, they can't get to the, you know, greatness of God. You know, the Milky Way is just one place. And then there's galaxies. And then, the closest galaxy to our Milky Way is like 250,000 light years away. And there are many, many more like that. And they just can't figure it out. You know, his greatness, the Bible says, is unsearchable. Hallelujah! That's the one word that immediately comes to mind when I think of his greatness. It's unsearchable. You can't figure it out. You know, he's just so great. Psalm 145 and verse 3 talks about the greatness of God being unsearchable. Let's look at it together. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is what? Is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. That's the one word. There's only one word comes to mind. There is only one word to describe. When you talk of his greatness, it is unsearchable. Hallelujah. In the book of Job chapter 11, let's take a quick look at verse 7 and see what he talks about. He says, canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the Lord unto perfection? Take a microscope, even take a telescope and say, well, you know, if I go to the ends of the earth, send missions out there and so forth, you know, and all that, you know, and see if they can reach and find out God. Maybe if we go far enough, we travel light years out there and so forth, maybe we'll find out God. Canst thou by searching find him out? His greatness is unsearchable. Hallelujah. But even in all of that greatness, he can drop down and reveal himself to those that believe him. Amen. He is so wonderful. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What about God's kingdom? What is the one word that comes to your mind when you think about his kingdom? Anybody? What's the one word? In my mind, the word that comes to mind when I think about his kingdom is endless. His kingdom is endless. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where do we find that in the scriptures? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Talking about his kingdom and so forth. Verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. You know, this scripture is so wonderful. Many people stumble at it. You know, this scripture right here. But it's wonderful. It talks about, you know, the Christ. Let me talk about it from verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now, we know he's talking about Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God. That same little child, he is the very mighty God. That same little child is also the very everlasting Father. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. He is the everlasting Father. And he's also the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. It's endless, folks. You can go out there billions of light years and you can never get to the end of it. Hallelujah. The increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and the kingdom to order it and to establish it and judgment and so forth, with justice forever and ever. You know, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. But this kingdom, he's going to give to the people of the saints of the Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. I don't think you know, you guys understand how great this is. The greatness of God, he is going to give to the people of the saints of the Most High. It is a great thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's see how Nebuchadnezzar described it. One of the greatest accolades in that Bible that were given to God by anybody outside of the Psalms was given by this man, Nebuchadnezzar. After the Lord dealt with him and he came back to his senses, in the book of Daniel chapter 4, let's take a look at Daniel chapter 4 and let's see what he said. Now, there's only one word that comes to mind. When you think about all these things, what is the word that comes to mind? Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. Verse 35 is really where I'm going, but let me start at 34 to give us some context. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. Now, that he should have done that the first time, but he didn't. You know, he bragged. He was braggadocious. He walked up and down and said, is this not the brightness, the kingdom that by brightness of my glory and the excellency of my majesty has made? And the Lord said, no, you didn't do it. I gave it to you. And the Lord put him down for 7 years. And then he found out that the Almighty reigneth in the affairs of man. And he giveth it to whomsoever he wills. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even to the basest of men. You know, so don't you ever worry about what God is doing. He can do anything he wants. Amen. You know, he said, look, I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Oh, his kingdom is endless. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say unto him, what doest thou? Hallelujah. You can't stay his hand, and you cannot say unto him, what doest thou? You cannot do it. He can do anything he wants because he is the master of the universe. Amen. The entire universe, how great that universe is, they can't find the end of it. It's all inside his belly. Amen. You can't get outside of the Lord. There's nowhere, no matter how you go. You know, they have their theories about the Big Bang theory. You know, they have all kinds of other cosmology theories and so forth like that. But I tell you what, you know, there's only one word that comes to mind. He's a great creator. He's the one that caused all these things to be by the word of his mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about, we've talked about his essence. We've talked about his love. We've talked about his judgments. We've talked about his greatness. We've talked about his kingdom. I want to talk about his presence next. God's presence. What is the one word? There's only one word comes to mind. There is only one word to describe. What's the one word that comes to mind when you think about his presence? Well, the one word that comes to mind for me is overpowering. His presence is overpowering. You know, his presence, I mean, we're talking about, you know, remember I explained at the beginning, there's a difference between that universal presence. You say, wherever two or three are gathered together, I am in their midst. Well, that's his universal presence. But there's a different presence that I'm talking about here. That's the one that I'm praying that we will experience in these services. Amen. And if you believe that, you're looking for it, you can say amen to it. Amen. And that's the one that, you know, we need to search for. That's the one we should live for every day. His presence is overpowering. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And let's read two verses there from verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now, of course, in this story, Solomon building the temple and about to dedicate it and so on. 2 Chronicles 5 and 13. And it came even to pass. Now notice this. It came even to pass. When they gathered all the priests together, when they brought all the trumpeters and the people that were, you know, skilled in the arts of music and instruments according to the law of David, when they brought all those people together, and they brought the priests in their order and so on. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and as the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good." I want you to say it with me. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. It came to pass that even as they began to say that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord. So that even the priests, I'm looking for these folks, the priests, the ministers could not stand to minister because the presence of the Lord was overpowering. It overpowered everybody. Hallelujah. Now, that's not the kind of presence you run away from. Well, the children of Israel, they didn't want any part of that. They told Moses, "Oh, no, no, no. We don't want any part of the Lord. You go get his glory and come and give us secondhand stuff." You know, but the Lord said, "I want you to be a kingdom of priests. I want you to be a generation of priests unto me." They said, "No, we don't want any part of that." Well, so that's how Moses became a prophet unto them. All of them should have been priests. All of them should have been a kingdom, a royal priesthood. But they rejected the glory of God. They said, "We don't want the glory of God." You know, folks, when you see the glory of God, you know, I mean, if the glory of God ever shows up, you know, that's something, you know, Lord, I'm praying every day, let me see thy glory. Amen. You know, and if your glory shows up, I'm running into that glory. I'm not running away from it. Amen. Because the deep calleth unto the deep at the sound of thy water sprout. I'm running into that glory when I see the glory of God. When the glory came, the priests, they could not stand to minister. Let me go back to this Isaiah 6 that we read. I told you we're coming back to it. And let's see what the presence of the Lord does to people. Now, this is the real presence of God. This is not some make-believe kind of thing that people say, you know. This is the effect that the real presence of God that I'm talking about, this is the effect that it has on people. Let's read it again. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, after he saw the train of the Lord and the posts were moved and so forth with the glory of God, and the cloud of God filled the house, after he saw that, this is what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, 5. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. This is what the real presence of God does to you. He makes you become, feel worthless. Makes you feel useless. Makes you feel like nobody. Makes you feel like a filthy rag. That's what the presence of God does in our lives. Now, if you feel, see your presence of God, and you come out, and you brag, and you make your shoulders like it, you haven't seen his presence. You haven't experienced his presence. When you see the presence of God, it will take the very breath out of you. You will fall at his feet as dead. On the Isle of Patmos, John When Jesus, when he was couched in that human flesh, well, you know, he didn't show that radiant glory all the time. Except one time, he took them to Mount Transfiguration, and he showed it a little bit to them, but he didn't do it all the time. He was couched in that human flesh. And John, you know, they used to lay upon him, do all of these things and so forth. When leaning upon his shoulder when they had lunch and all these things and so forth. Well, when he came on the Isle of Patmos, his eyes were like a flame of fire. But you don't lean upon him like that and so forth like that. John, he fell at his feet as dead. Hallelujah. Even his feet were like pillars of fire. You know, one blast from his nostril, he blast out the whole world. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. I'm the one that was alive and yea, I am dead. I mean, I was dead and yea, I'm alive forevermore. Just so you know that it was Jesus. Because some people may think, oh, that wasn't Jesus. No, it was Jesus. It was exactly Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the Alpha. He's not the second and he's not the third. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And that's thus said the word of the living God. You cannot slice God up into three pieces, folks. He is one God. The Holy One of Israel. He's never the Holy Three of Israel. He's the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. And boy, when he comes in that glory, it takes your breath. Even Daniel, you know, the breath was out of him. All of these people, when they see the glory, Isaiah, you know, Ezekiel, and all of them and so forth, their breath goes out of them. That's what the real presence of God does. It's overpowering. It makes sin look even more sinful. Hallelujah. That's right. That's what the law came to do, to make sin look more sinful. And the presence of God will make you feel like worthless. But then he will reach out and say, fear not. Hallelujah. When you fall upon your face before him, he will reach out to you and say, fear not. Hallelujah. And he will lift you up. Hallelujah. He'll put you upon his shoulders. Oh my. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. That's what the real presence of God will do. Now, let's move on here and talk about God's beauty. You say God is beautiful? Hallelujah. You know, what's the one word? What's the only one word that comes to mind? Oh yeah. What's the one word to describe? What's the one word to describe the beauty of our God? The thing that comes to my mind is perfection. I mean, all our ladies and so forth, you all are beautiful and we love beautiful ladies and so forth. You know, we love beautiful houses and so forth. They're all beautiful. But they are nothing compared to the Lord. Out of Zion, God, the perfection of beauty, has shined. That's in Psalm 50 and verse 2. He is the perfection of beauty, folks. If you want to look at real beauty, you begin to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. And you find beauty in the presence of God. Amen. God is the perfection of beauty. Psalm 50 and verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Hallelujah. That's the one word that comes to mind when we talk of his glory and his beauty. And listen to what this beauty can do in our lives. Now, I tell you something, folks. When the presence and the beauty of God is not upon something, that thing is worthless. Praise the Lord. We can build wonderful buildings like this and so forth like that. If the presence and the beauty of the Lord is not there, it is useless. Amen. The beauty of God is what makes a vessel of service to be anointed for the Lord. The beauty of God. And even in our lives, in our individual lives, in your individual lives, in your struggles, in your daily walk and so forth. Now, as I'm going through this, when you begin to latch on to the attributes of God, your miracle is already in your hands. Amen. It's as simple as that. Because God is so great, you know, that all you have to do is recognize his greatness and you have your miracle. Amen. Now, look at Psalm 90 and verse 17. This is a prayer that everybody should pray every day. for yourselves, for the ministry, and I've been praying for the ministry, but for even your personal lives and so forth, you should pray. He said, and let the beauty of our God shine upon us. Amen. Let it be upon us, the beauty of the Lord our God. Let it be upon us. And establish thou, O Lord, the work of our hands. Yea, establish thou it. It is the beauty of God that can do that in our lives. Amen. The one word that comes to mind when we think of his beauty is perfection. Hallelujah. What is the one word that comes to mind when you think of his power? The power of God. What's the one word? You know, we talk about God being almighty. We know that. What's the one word that comes to mind when we think of the power of God? In my mind, the one word is immeasurable. His power is immeasurable. You cannot measure the power of God. You just can't. You know, we talk in human terms just because of the boundaries of our language. That's all. When we say God is the highest, that's because, well, we don't have any other thing to describe highest or greater than the highest or higher than the highest. I mean, our language is limited. But the power of God is immeasurable. Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's read from verse 19. We talk about the power of God in our lives. Now, this is, again, Paul praying for these people. He said from verse 18, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let's look at verse 19, because Paul is himself struggling here to find words to describe the greatness of his power. And what is the exceeding? Now, when you talk about exceeding, that means anything that you can find a height to, it also exceeds that. It's immeasurable. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? And where does that power lie? What is the purpose of that power? Read the rest of it. And that's where you can sit here today and all your needs are met. Amen. You can sit here today, if you recognize and you can latch on to this revelation, all your needs are met. Amen. Listen to this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen to this. Far above all. Now that's not some principalities. No. That's far above how many principalities? Far above all principalities. And all power. And might. And dominion. And every name, I mean, you just can't measure the greatness of his power. But God wants us to try to imagine it. Try to imagine it. And if you can let yourself loose in the spirit and he takes you in there, then all your problems are solved. Amen. Because you can just know that God that is so great, you know, what is it that I'm facing that God, you know, that will be anything for God? Hallelujah. Far above all these things, not only in this world. Every name that is named. What is the name? Is it cancer? Is it disease? Is it sickness? Is it frustration? Is it depression? Is it anything that is named? Any name that is named, the power of God is greater. Amen. Not only in this world, but also even in the world to come. Anywhere you can imagine it, the greatness of his power exceeds all of that. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And God has put all things, so my, under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm giving him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. So if we are part of his body and he is the head and he is above, then that means we are also above. Amen. He's made us to sit with him. Hallelujah. And he has put him in a place, a very special place. So there should be nothing, nothing that should get us defeated. Hallelujah. Nothing should defeat us. Can you say amen to that? Listen to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able. I want you to say, God is able. Unto him that is able to do, now that's that word again, to do exceeding abundantly. Now, yeah, he's looking for words here. He's looking for superlatives to describe the power of God. You know, but he just can't, there's the human, the English language or whatever Greek language they had at that time, you know, Hebrew language or whatever it was, they just couldn't describe it. You know, so he said, look, he said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Now, it's first of all, it's exceedingly. That means beyond anything you can think of. It's abundantly. That means overflowing. And it is even above. That means it's higher than anything that we can ask or think. According to the power. My. If you can think of his power in these terms. That his power is exceedingly. His power is abundant. You know, every time we think of this scripture, we think of, you know, what God's going to do for us. But this scripture is actually talking more about the power, you know, the immeasurable power of God. The power that worketh in us. But see, he can only do for you to the extent of how you understand this power. That's what this verse is saying. It's according to the power that works in you. You know, he can't go beyond that. If you think that God can give you $2, well, that's what he can give. But maybe he'll give you, if you think he can give you two, maybe he'll give you five. Because he's able to deal exceeding abundantly above. You know, so I'm just using those terms. It's not about money at all. This is about everything. Everything. Hallelujah. He's able according to that power that works in us. And that power is exceeding. You can't measure it. It's abundantly. It's above. It's immeasurable. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's go on here to God's glory. What is the one word? There's only one word that comes to mind. Yeah. There's only one word to describe. What is the one word that comes to mind when we think of his glory? Well, what is the one word to describe the glory of God? I say it is indescribable. Amen. The one word that comes to mind concerning the glory of God is that it is indescribable. You cannot really describe it. You know, people just put some words. The places where the glory of God has shown, they just put some words down because they really can't describe it. Let's look at a few places in the Bible. Exodus chapter 19. Let's do quickly here and go into verse 18. Exodus 19 and verse 18. Let's see when the glory of God came down and see what they saw. Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of the furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. Next verse, Exodus 19 and 19. You know, because it says, when they heard the voice, when he heard all this voice and he waxed warm and so forth, that's when the people began to say, oh, we don't want to hear the voice. They began to run away from the glory of God. But we don't want to do that. The power of God needs to draw us in. Amen. Draw us in. Exodus chapter 24. Let me move quickly here. Exodus 24, verse 16. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 16. Verses 16 and 17. Let's read this real quickly. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the cloud and so forth. And most of the time, they couldn't describe it. They just said the glory of God. Because they saw a pillar of smoke. They saw this and they saw that. They couldn't even put words to it. But the glory of God is what transforms a life. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. And it is also the glory of God to conceal a thing. In Proverbs chapter 25. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. So God, in his glory, it's actually indescribable. We don't know what to do it, how to do it. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The psalmist always has something to say about one of these attributes or any of these attributes. Let's look at Psalm 19, talking about how even the heavens, because he couldn't figure out a way to say it. This is Psalm 19. Psalm, not Exodus. Psalm 19, verse 1. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge." There's no speech, you know, or language. Even though we can't find words to describe it, but when you look in the heavens, you know, the heavens itself is telling the story about the glory of God. Amen. It is indescribable. We can't describe it, but we just have to look to the heavens to try to figure it out. You know. And God, he redefines glory. He redefines glory. Now, there is I can't find the words to even describe it in English. But in my own natural native tongue, the Yoruba language, I'm going to tell you the words of a song that tell you how God redefines glory. Because, I mean, his glory is so awesome. We can't describe it. I mean, I couldn't find words in the English language to say it to you. So I'm going to say the song to you, tell you what it means. He says, God, the glory of God, he takes glory from glory to glory. He redefines glory. Amen? Amen? He says, Oba to gbe ogo, kari ogo, latinu ogo, losinu ogo. I mean, he takes glory. That's in Yoruba. And I know many of you may not understand it, but that's what I'm saying in English. But that's the best way that I can say. He takes glory. He redefines glory. You know, he elevates the definition of glory. He takes glory to a greater height. I mean, the glory that we think, God redefines it. He takes it from glory to glory. In fact, it's so indescribable. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And if you can latch on to this glory, oh my. If you can latch on to this glory, it's only one word to describe. You know, Oba to gbe ogo, kari ogo, latinu ogo, losinu ogo, Oba tiki sun, Oba tiki re, talo dabi re o, alagbara, talo dabi re, Jesu, talo dabi re o, alagbara, talo dabi re, Jesu, talo dabi re o, alagbara, Oba togbe ogo, kari ogo, latinu ogo, losinu ogo, Oba tiki re, Oba tiki sun, talo dabi re o, alagbara. The song says, who is like unto you? The Lord God that redefines even the definition of glory. He elevates the standard definition that people know about glory. He takes it to even a higher definition. From glory to glory, above glory and beyond glory. Hallelujah! I had to sing that song in Yoruba because I couldn't sing it in English. The English does not do justice to the definition of God's glory. Praise the Lord. It is so wonderful. The last one that I want to talk about today because of time. What word comes to mind when you think of God's mercy? The mercy of God is everlasting. It endures forever. The one word that comes to mind is everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. That means everlasting. Can somebody say everlasting?
Everlasting.
Let's read quickly Psalm 106 and verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. You know the scripture, the Psalms are replete with these messages about God's mercy. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. That his mercy is everlasting. That's what it means. Now, Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For what? For his mercy endureth forever. And you can read the whole of Psalm 136. I'm not going to read it because it's very long. But the whole chapter of Psalm 136, for every half sentence, he punctuates it by his mercy endureth forever. Let me just read one or two stanzas out of that verse, out of that chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. That's the same thing about the mercy of God being everlasting. That's the one word that comes to mind when you think about that. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, quickly, let's look at how God even described himself in the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Moses had been praying and said, Lord, show me your glory and so forth. And this is the prayer that all of us should be praying. Moses was praying that prayer, show me thy glory and all that. And the Lord, you said, well, you know, I'll show you what I'll show you, you know, but Moses was praying. And so one day the Lord would show him something. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now let's see what the Lord has to say about himself. This is not what other people say about God. This is what God is saying about himself. The Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. Amen, folks? This is what God has to say about himself. So let's see what God, how God describes himself. That's why I put this attribute last about God, because it is really the greatest. Now, let's look at it. The Lord passed by him and proclaimed and said, the Lord! And this is the Lord proclaiming his own name. The Lord, that's Yahweh, the Lord God, merciful. That's the first thing that comes out of God's mouth when he describes himself. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is the first thing that comes out of God's mouth concerning himself. I am the merciful God. I'll forgive all your trespasses. Hallelujah. There should not be any unsaved soul in the house here today. Because God said, I will forgive your trespasses. I will wipe them away. As the east is from the west, so will I carry away your trespasses. And I will remember them no more. I am the merciful God. Long suffering. People for ages, for thousands of years, they have been spitting on his face. They have been turning their backs unto him. I am the long suffering God. Hallelujah. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the first part. Now, if you receive the mercy of God, then you don't have to deal with his severity. But if you reject the mercy of God, because he's a righteous God, then listen to his severity. And I will by no means clear the guilty. And I will even visit the iniquity of the fathers upon their children. And upon the children's children. Even though the third and the fourth generation. Now we don't want any of that. Amen. Amen, folks. We want the mercy of God. And God put his best attribute forward first. He put out first his mercy. You know, he's inviting people to receive the mercy, and then you don't have to deal with the severity of God. How many of you will receive his mercy, the mercy of the Lord here today? Let me quickly read a couple more scriptures. You know, talking about the mercy of God. Exodus chapter 25. In this story, when God was depicting, you know, to Moses about the ark and all of these things and so on. He showed him, he said, according to the pattern that showed you in the mount. And then God told him how to put together the ark, symbolizing his presence and everything. And listen to this in verse 21 of Exodus 25. This is the commandment that the Lord gave to Moses after he gave him all the other things to do around the ark. And we know what all the ark symbolizes. And if you don't know, I don't have time to go into that today. Verse 21, Exodus 25. And thou shalt put the mercy seat where? Where will you put the mercy seat? Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. That's right. That is where the mercy of the Lord, in depiction to everything else, is. It is above even the ark. You know, you may think of the ark as the absolute presence of God. But the mercy of God, he said, put it above the ark. Not beneath the ark. Not below the ark. Not sideways to the ark. Not inside the ark. Put the mercy seat above the ark. And I want you to notice, he called it mercy seat. He did not call it judgment seat. How many of you say praise the Lord? It is the mercy seat, folks. It is not the judgment seat. To those that receive his mercy, it is the mercy seat. But if you reject his mercy, that thing is going to turn to a judgment seat. But we don't want any of that, you know. Put the mercy seat above the ark. And put the testimony that I shall give you in there. And there, oh my, in that mercy seat, at the mercy seat, there will I meet with you. How many of you say, glory to God? He will not meet with us at the judgment seat. He will meet with us at the mercy seat. At the mercy seat is where I will meet with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And God told him, put that mercy seat above the ark. Because that's where I will meet with you. And that's the place I will commune with you. From even above the mercy seat, I will commune with you. I will meet with you. I will put my name there. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And finally, let me read Romans chapter 9. I cannot talk of the mercy of God without reading this verse. Romans chapter 9. Let me read from verses 15 and 16. It's a full story. You can read the whole chapter. But on account of time, I can't. I'm just going to read two verses. Romans 9. 15 and 16. He said, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's the Lord's prerogative. And he chooses to do that. And if you are somebody today that has received his mercy, you ought to fall on your face before the Lord. Because it's not because of what you did or didn't do. It's because of his mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Period. That's the end of story. And whosoever I will harden. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because we are vessels of mercy. I will have compassion. So then, verse 16, it is not of him that willeth, neither yet of him that runneth. Well, we must will, you know, for to will, to want to do it and so forth, it's God that makes it. We must want to do his will. And we must try everything we can. But it is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. But it is of God that showeth mercy. It is God that shows you mercy. Hallelujah. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. Which of these attributes of God that we have exalted here this morning appeals the most to you? I'm going to give you a chance. Never, don't look at anybody else. Don't worry about it. Come down here to the front. And I'm going to pray a prayer. I prayed this prayer last night. I prayed some of it this morning. I'm going to pray it again here today. I want you to come down here. Latch on to one of these attributes of God. Especially his mercy. And come down here. And spread your hands in this place. Before the Lord. And I'm going to ask the Lord to have mercy upon you. And whatever is in your heart, don't look at anybody. People are always looking at who's going to take the first step out. Don't worry about that. You take the step of faith. You come out here. And you believe the Lord. And you say, I need salvation. I don't even know my life. I don't understand. You young people and so forth. Latch on to the mercy of God today. You say, I've been away from God. You know, my life and so forth is not this and that. You know, latch on to the mercy of God today. Whatever the sickness, whatever the reason, whatever the distress of your heart, latch on to the mercy of God. Latch on to the greatness of God's power. Latch on to the boundless love that he has. And all these things that we have described here today, that is indescribable. There's only one word that comes to mind. What word comes to your mind? There is only one word to describe. What is the word that you can describe? Now lift your hands here and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, O Lord, remember, O God, thy glory. Remember the prayer that we prayed even in this house when I had the first we dedicated this place. How we came, O Lord, and stood in this house night and day and all night. Remember, O Lord, how we walked around this building and how we came even in the middle of it, inside and outside. And how we prayed in this place, Lord, and said, Lord, when your people that are purposed in their hearts to seek the Lord, when they shall come into this house, if they shall have any burden in their hearts, and if they shall spread their hands, O Lord, in this place. Remember, O Lord, how we prayed and said, Lord, hear from heaven and deliver your people. Father, Lord, I pray for every one of your people that is here today. If they shall stand in the truth of their heart, stand before the Lord today. Spread your hands here, people, before the Lord here. I'm going to ask that the Lord, oh God Almighty, let your eyes be open. And let your ears be attentive to the prayer of your people that they call upon you this day. And let the Holy Spirit, that which you have spoken with your mouth, verify thy word. Let your word be verified here today in the lives of your people. That you will fulfill their desires in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need salvation here today, if you say, I want the Lord to forgive me, I've been astray, I've been a prodigal son. Today, the mercy of God is flowing freely. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, said the Lord. Father, if there are people when they are in distress, maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's something that is chronic that has bothered them. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's their education. Maybe it's their job. If they shall come into this place, Lord, we pray. Remember the prayer when we prayed as the force. I said, if they shall lift their hands and stretch their arms in this place towards you, that you will remember and that you hear from heaven. And I pray for everyone that will step through these doors and everybody that has ever stepped through these doors. Father, Lord, hear them in the day of trouble. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. Hallelujah. The Lord answer you, grant you according to your heart's desire. Remember all your burnt sacrifice and all your efforts. And be not weary in labor, for the Lord will reward your works. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, O Lord, let that word which you promised us, that there shall none cast their young in this place. You promised us in this place, Lord, that there shall none cast their young. There shall no child die in this place. There shall nobody be buried in this place. Lord, but we shall rejoice. We shall have abundant life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that which you have spoken by your mouth perform it as it is this day with your hand in our lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. And let the mercy of God, let the mercy of God be revealed unto everyone here and to generations to come. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we receive your mercy today. We receive your mercy today. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to stand up and put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Come on, we can do better than that. Sometimes the way we clap for the Lord, put your hands together for the one and only Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the praise team to come back up. And if you believe that the Lord heard your prayer today, what you want to do is rejoice before the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want them to sing that song again. There's only one word that comes to mind. There's only one word that describes to describe any of these attributes that we have talked about. As you think about it, as you latch onto it, oh, the greatness of his power. He take away all the problems, level all the mountains, fill up all the valleys, make straight the crooked places. There's only one word, Lord, that comes to mind when we think of your essence, it's holy. There's only one word that comes to mind when we think of your love, it's boundless. There's only one word that comes to mind when we think of your judgments, they are righteous altogether. There's only one word, Lord, when it comes to mind when we think of your greatness, it is unsearchable. There's only one word that comes to mind when we think of your kingdom, it is endless. There's only one word, Lord, that comes to our mind when we think of your presence, it is overpowering. There's only one word, Lord, that comes to mind when we think of your beauty, it is perfection. There's only one word that comes to mind when we think of your power, it is immeasurable. There's only one word, Lord, that comes to mind when we think of your glory. It is indescribable. And there's only one word that comes to mind when we think of your mercy. It endureth forever and it is everlasting. The mercy of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so and say, the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, we thank you for all these attributes that you have revealed unto us of the greatness of your power toward us. Thank you, Lord, for the offering that is brought also into the house of the Lord. Lord, we know that every burden in here today is lifted because we have understood the greatness of the power of God according to that power that worketh in us. We thank you and we give you the praise, O God. We thank you also because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by your mercy, you have saved us. Hallelujah. And for every wandering, lost, backsliding, lukewarm soul that came in here today trying to find their way back, we thank you because the mercy and the grace of God is here full and free today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you because you have blotted away our transgressions. Thank you because you have delivered our eyes from tears. Thank you because you have healed every sickness and every disease. And thank you because you are watching over your word to perform it concerning prayers that are prayed in this place when thy people shall stretch forth their hands. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's share the grace together.